All right, so we're going to read from Exodus. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 3. Just going to read half a dozen, or a dozen verses or so. So this is Moses. Moses has been brought up in the court of Pharaoh, kills an Egyptian, has to run away because Pharaoh's going to kill him. That's when he's 40 years old. For the next 40 years, he lives in the desert, thinking this is the way I'm going to spend the rest of my life. But at 80 years old, God says, nope, I've got other plans for you. So Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. Let me do it from this. This is easier. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. For I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I am certainly with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Okay, so we're looking at this series of Knowing God. Now, just to introduce this, back in 1977, there was a famous interview took place here in Australia. Between these two men, Alan, you can tell me who this is, can't you?
Molly Meldrum.
That's Molly Meldrum, okay. Can anyone guess who the other bloke is? It's actually His Royal Highness, Prince Charles. And during the conversation, now, none of you will be surprised to hear this conversation if you know Molly Meldrum, but during the conversation, Molly Meldrum said, I saw your mum in London in a carriage, to which His Royal Highness, Prince Charles, said, are you referring to Her Majesty, the Queen? Pregnant pause. Okay, so what's he so upset about? What's the problem here? What do you reckon, Tian? Your mum, yeah. You do not refer to the queen as your mum. That's what he got so high and mighty about. On the other hand, what do you think His Royal Highness Prince Charles calls Her Majesty the Queen when they're alone? Probably mum, or probably mummy, actually. I think he's more into mummy. What do you think His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, calls Her Majesty the Queen when they're alone? Probably Liz, yeah. I don't know. I haven't been... I'm not in on that. But you see, even someone so exalted as Her Majesty the Queen can be referred to on far more familiar terms, by far more familiar terms, by someone who is far more familiar with her. Now, here in Australia, if you want to refer to the Queen, her official title is... Queen Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, Queen of this realm and of her other realms and territories, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. Be a good one to have an acronym. But, you know, even Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen of, by the grace of God, Queen of this realm and her other realms and territories, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, can sometimes be called by a few select people, Mummy or Liz. Of course, anyone can call her that, like, you know, we saw in the interview, even Molly Meldrum could call her Mum, or he could have called her Liz, but he shouldn't. He's not allowed to. For Molly Meldrum to call Her Majesty the Queen Mum or Liz is meaningless. It's an affront because he doesn't have that sort of relationship with her. To address Her Majesty the Queen as Mum or Liz, you have to have some sort of intimate relationship with her. Which brings us to God. This series is about knowing God. And we know a lot about God from the names or the titles by which he is addressed in the Bible. For example, in one part of the Bible he is referred to as God Almighty. In another part he's referred to as God Most High. In another part he's referred to as the Eternal God. In another, he's called the Ancient of Days. In another, he's referred to as the Mighty One. When you look at all those names of God, what sort of impression do you get as to what God is like?
Awesome.
Okay, awesome would be a good word, isn't it? God is awesome. He is remote. He's far away from us. All those are good names of God. They're all used in the Bible. They all tell us something about God. They tell us something about us. They tell us something about our relationship with God. So, for example, God Almighty reminds us not only how mighty God is, but it reminds us just of how weak and frail and insignificant we are. The Eternal God reminds us that God is outside of time, but we are like, the Bible says, the grass of the field, the wind blows on it, it withers and vanishes away. So the question is this. Although God is known in the Bible by all these awesome, remote and wonderful names, does God have a personal name that those who are on intimate terms with him may use? And if he does, what does that personal name mean? So if we go back to Exodus chapter 3... Okay, in Exodus 3 we learn here is Moses, he's 80 years old, he grew up as a prince in Egypt, but for the last 40 years he's been in exile, he's been living in the back of the desert. And then suddenly God appears to him. This is the first time God has appeared to him after 80 years. We're told that Moses was in the desert and he saw a bush that was on fire, but even though it was on fire, it wasn't getting burned up. And then God calls to him from the midst of the fire, and we read this. God said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Okay, if you came to the front door of someone's house and they said, don't come near here, take your shoes off and walk slowly towards me, that's not very welcoming, is it? And that's just emphasising how remote this person is. Don't draw near to this place. God's going to keep Moses at arm's length. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. This is God Almighty. There's nothing close or personal or intimate about God in this. But then God goes on and he reveals to Moses a new name. It says, then God said to Moses, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, sorry, Moses said to God, because God's told him to go and release the Israelites, and Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? I'll say, you know, which God is this? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So Moses says, what's your name? God says, I am who I am. That's a really strange name. And once again, it doesn't sound like a very intimate name. It sounds like you're shutting someone down, doesn't it? I mean, imagine there's two people having an argument and one person, you know, thinks, hang on. Just think about this. How can you say that? Think of, and they go into this counter-argument. And then the other person says, I have said what I have said. That's it. I'm not going to argue. It makes that person very remote. He's emphasising his superiority. He's emphasising his power. And so too, when God says, I am who I am, it sounds as though God is saying, don't bother trying to understand me. I'm beyond your understanding. Just accept that I am who I am. And that sort of squashes all hope of intimacy, doesn't it? It sounds like God is remote. It sounds like God is emphasising his superiority, his power. But that's actually not what's happening here. Because God went on from that to explain a new name that he gave to Moses. He says, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then it says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And we believe that when God said that, he's talking about this name, the Lord. And in fact, in Hebrew, this name, the Lord, is closely connected with the expression, I am. And I want to look at that name tonight. We're looking at the name, the Lord. God says, I am the Lord. Now, it doesn't sound like it, but that is actually a very personal, very intimate name of God. If we can address God as the Lord in terms of what God means by that, then we are on personal, intimate terms with God. Just as, you know, most people in the world have to refer to the Queen as Her Majesty the Queen, but there's just a few that are on intimate terms with her who can call her Liz or Mum. So there are those who only know God as God Almighty. But there are some who are on intimate terms with him who, believe it or not, can address him as the Lord. As I say, at first sight, that name, the Lord, doesn't sound like a very intimate name. It certainly doesn't sound as intimate as Liz or Mum, does it? But that's just the problem we have because of the way it's translated. If you went back to the language in which the Bible was written, you would find that this special name for God is related to the idea of I am, and it looked something like this. That's what's translated as the Lord in the Bible. God says, this is my name which I'm revealing to you. This is my name forever. Pronounce something like Yahweh. And that really is a very personal name for God. That's a name of God which only those on intimate terms with God really understand. So you think, okay, well, what does this name mean? We all know that names have meanings, like Eileen, which is another form of Helen, which means the moon, or Sue, which is a shortened form of Susanna, which means a lily, or Jesse, which means a gift, or Ken. Well, I believe it has a Japanese, there's a Japanese word, Ken, which I don't think my name comes from, but it means strong or healthy, so I'm told. All of that means absolutely nothing to you, does it? Because when you talk to a person, if you go up to talk to Jesse, you don't say, okay, I'm talking to you, Jesse, because I know your name means a gift. You don't even think of that, do you? I mean, even when people name their babies, they hardly ever think of what the name means, and I can assure you when someone comes up and talks to you, they never think of what your name means. But in the Bible, names have meanings that are sometimes significant, and that's especially true when it comes to this name of God, Yahweh. Now, the meaning of that is found in those words that we said before in verse 14, where God said to Moses, I am who I am, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you, and then he says, this is my special name, and that is the Lord. That's the name you're going to know me by from now on. And that name, the Lord, is, as I say, it comes from this idea of I am. I am who I am. First sight, it sounds like God's remote, but he's not. If you look carefully, you'll see that God has just said something very similar to Moses just before this. Remember, Moses has been told, go back to Egypt, front up to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, tell them you're going to take all his slaves away from him, lead them through the desert, to the other side of the desert, and start a new nation. That's a big challenge. Imagine if God said to you, look, I want you to go to Russia, I want you to break into the Kremlin, I want you to shirt front Vladimir Putin, and I want you to tell him you're there to take away all these scientists who are Christians and you're going to bring them back to Australia. That would be challenging, wouldn't it? But Moses, let's go back to verse 11. Okay, when God told Moses to do that, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, this is what God said. He said, I am certainly with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent to you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. I am certainly with you. And that's exactly what we read down there in verse 14, where God has said, in verse 12, he said, I am certainly with you. In verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am certainly with you. So there's Moses. He's freaking out because God has told him to go and shirt front Pharaoh. This is the same Pharaoh or his son that 40 years before tried to kill him. And Moses isn't too keen to do this. And God gives him this assurance. He says, I am certainly with you. That's the assurance he has given to Moses. And after that, Moses says to God, yeah, but who are you? What's your name? What sort of God are you? What are you like? Well, says God, I have told you, I am with you. And if you want to know what I'm like, I am exactly what I am. I am with you. I am exactly with you. You see what God's saying to Moses there? He's assuring Moses that his character is such that there is absolutely no doubt that he is going to be with Moses. I am exactly what I have said. If I have said I am with you, Moses, then I am with you. There can be no doubt. I will do exactly what I have promised to do. That's what God is saying. And that was the basis of his name, Yahweh. We translate it the Lord, which is not a really good translation. But that's what his name, Yahweh, means. It means, I am utterly faithful. I am all that I have said I am. I keep my promises. I will do all that I have promised to do. When God makes a promise, we call that a covenant. A covenant is when God binds himself by what he has agreed to do. Now, in a few weeks' time, Ian and Corrine are going to make a covenant. We call that covenant marriage. Barely 24 hours later, Alan and Sue are going to make a covenant. We call that covenant marriage. And in each case, a man and a woman will make promises to each other to be there for each other forever, as long as they both shall live. A man and a woman will make a promise that this will be an exclusive relationship like no other. That's what we call a covenant. Now, when God calls himself Yahweh, he's saying that his name is reminding you that he is in covenant with those in special relationship with him. For those who are in this special relationship with God, God promises to be there for them forever. God promises that that will be an exclusive relationship like no other. That's the special relationship God has with his special people, and that's what we call a covenant. And that's what this name Yahweh means. It means God is with you forever if you are in a special relationship with him. God is with us. God is with me. This is the most beautiful name of God in the Bible. It's a pity it gets lost when it gets translated as the Lord, or even Yahweh itself doesn't really mean a lot, does it? But that's what it means. It means God is with me. It is his most personal, his most intimate name. It's not a name about God being so far and remote from us, but it's about God, about a name about God being with us. But it is God's name only for those who are in that special relationship with him. Because only those in a special relationship with God can honestly say, God is with me. And we all want to be able to say that, don't we? We all want to be able to say, God is with me. Sometimes we say that, but we don't really know if it's true. And sometimes we say it to others without thinking. We just say, oh, God be with you. But is God with them? Just saying it doesn't guarantee that God is with anyone. Will God be with me? How can I know if God is with me? The Bible's answer to that is Jesus. Because before Jesus was born, there was this prophecy. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Well, the prophecy actually occurs back 750 years before in Isaiah, but it's quoted in Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin, that's referring to Mary, shall be with child, that's referring to Jesus, and he shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. So you go to the first part of the Bible, and in the first part of the Bible, God reveals himself to Moses, and he says to Moses, look, my special name that only those who know me intimately will understand is Yahweh. And that means I am certainly with you. You shall be my special people and I will always be there for you. So that's what God says in the first part of the Bible. The big question then is, okay, how can we know that? How can we be sure that God will always be there for us? And the answer that God gives in the second part of the Bible is that God binds himself to be with us through Jesus. If we have a special relationship with God through Jesus, God promises to be with us. If we put our faith in Jesus, then God is with us. And he will be with us forever. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's a beautiful name. It means that through Jesus, God is with us and we are with God. And God promises to be with us right to the very end. You can go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. In the last book of the Bible, the writer, who was John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, has a vision of what it'll be like at the very end. He says, "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.' God himself will be with them and be his God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Emmanuel, Yahweh, God with us through Jesus. Do you know this God? I don't mean just God Almighty or the Eternal God or the Awesome God. I mean this God. Do you know Yahweh? Do you know him the only way he can be known? Which is through Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.